In my basket.
Debbie, I'll let you go ahead and introduce Elizabeth and get us started. Okay.
Good morning, everybody. This is Debbie Marks and Kathy Binner with Fireside Chat with Debbie Marks. And today we are going to be interviewing Elizabeth Clayman. Did I pronounce that correctly?
That's good enough. Everybody pronounces it different. We just say clam on.
Well, that's a good way. Good way to remember.
So if you can remember the clap on, clap off commercials, you can remember clam on.
Well, that's a good analogy. I'm just going to give you an idea who Elizabeth is. And she is actually straight from the backwoods of the bayous of Louisiana. And she is an avid motorcycle grandma and a serial entrepreneur with a servant's heart. Elizabeth has been featured on NBC, ABC, Fox, CBS, The Boston Herald, and Voice America. She's been sought out for her experience by Weight Watchers in the Department of Defense. And I have to admit, I've kept up with her on LinkedIn, and it's been fascinating. Though she admits she can't spell to save her life, join the club, she nonetheless is a multiple time international best-selling author with a PhD in nootropic medicine. How do you say that?
Natural medicine. Yes.
See, my problem is speaking.
That's my gift. We make Elizabeth, a good team.
Yes. Elizabeth, she's also an expert storyteller, coach. She's an award-winning speaker and founder of Relentless Hearts Ministry. She has helped thousands of clients for nearly three decades go from a rough idea to a finished story that wins people's hearts and has them lining up at the back table. This is the tough time. She has survived a traumatic, abusive childhood, chronic illness, and severe pain caused by multiple disabling auto accidents and one that left her bedridden for 12 years. That's a long time. Elizabeth and her husband, Arnold, who is a retired U.S. Air Force colonel, have raised three beautiful children to adulthood and are now thoroughly enjoying being grandparents to their five grandchildren. And number six is due in April. Do they know what the sex is yet?
The girl.
Oh,
we have all girls but one boy. Five girls and a boy.
Join the club. I have eight girls and one boy.
Wow.
So but first I want to mention that you're also right now in the midst of doing a lot. That's true. But you're doing a women's retreat. And it's online. Am I correct?
No, I just did a virtual summit that I spoke in last night. And that is on my YouTube channel. So I can send you the link for that. So you can put if anybody would like to go. We talk about storytelling. And hopefully my internet's going to hold up. It's saying it's unstable. So I hope I don't freeze up on you guys. If I do, I'll go out and come right back.
Well, if you freeze up, still keep talking. Don't worry.
Okay.
Actually, just before we got on, the sheet that you sent me with all the addresses, I already copied and pasted it into the chat box so that everyone can see that and copy it.
Okay. Well, the thing I spoke in last night would be the last video at the top of my YouTube channel.
Okay, great. And
hey, Debbie.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. And welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Sally. There's nothing in my chat box.
Really? Well, let's.
Yep, mine either.
Recopy it. I put it in before, or when Kathy and I were talking.
There it
How
is.
How about now?
It showed up. There you go. It's there now.
Good.
There now.
Awesome. Thanks, Sally, for letting me know.
Yeah, thank you.
The summit that you were doing, what was it focused on?
It was called The Best You in 2022, and it was put on by Women Speakers Association, which is a Christian women speakers group that I'm a part of, I'm a lifetime member of, so I've been a part of that group for a long, long time. And she had like four different tracks running at one time, and I was in the reach track, so teaching people how to expand their voice, echo their voice, and to get their voice and their message and their story out there into the world, and to get their voice to echo further and further.
Wow, I'm going to have to go check that out.
Well, it's a little wonky right now because, again, I'm working in an RV and we're still in a learning curve. So we've got to go in and do some edits, but it's on there. There's just some blank spots at the beginning and where the intro and the outro were supposed to be that we didn't get put in there right.
So. Okay. Well, okay. You say you're in an RV. Where are you right now?
We are right now in Mineola, Texas.
Oh,
which is just north of Tyler. It's a little antique town. My in-laws have a property here, and they willed it to my son when they passed away this last year. And so our son and our daughter-in-law live here, and our RV, they already had the RV set up for the site and the roof and the whole thing. And so we're just taking their spot. Their RV at the moment. But we're both going to speak, and we have a new book that we're writing called The Savvy Leader. And so we're going to both be speaking and doing books and doing book tours and everything. So that that's kind of our next couple of years of that we have planned anyway. But, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men. So we'll see how that works.
How true. How true.
See what kind of twists and turns we go on from here.
And I hope they're not as rough as that was for you last year.
Oh, it was. I was talking to my friend that did the summit. She's actually been a mentor to me for years. And I was talking to her about doing some shifts in the business and adding leadership and everything. And she said, well, I find that when you're having big shifts in your life, that usually everything is shifting. So it makes sense to me that you're adding that leadership part to it. And especially since you've been doing these anthologies and you've led those and you've organized those. And plus I've been in sales and business forever. So I've led teams all over the place. And I told her, I said, this last 6 months has tectonic shifts in our life. I feel like we're sitting on tectonic plates.
So in your description, you say that you are a serial entrepreneur. What does that mean for us that out here don't know?
Like a serial killer, only I just keep opening businesses. I've been doing it since I was 13 years old. I signed up for my first direct sales business when I was 13. I couldn't even fill out the application. My mother had to fill it out in her name. And I went out and I did sales and put my money in my little savings account that I had. And so my husband being with us moving in the military, every time we move, I just kind of reinvent myself.
So at 13,
you know your audience. So I kind of look around where we're at and say, you know, what does this audience need? Like in Massachusetts, they need a Cajun and Southern food. So I did a catering business.
What was the first business you did at 13?
It was Avon. I sold Avon and I just went to all my neighbors' doors and all my friends in school. And, you know, I had a pretty good little income coming in.
with Avon? Yes, you would have back then.
Yes.
That was very popular.
Yes, it was. And then I did, after I got pregnant with our second child, our first one was 15 months old, and God surprised me with the second one that we weren't expecting. And he was leaving for military training and didn't know when he'd be back. And I wanted to be home with the kids, so I started selling Tupperware. And I can't do anything a little bit, you know, I can't do anything. You know, if I'm going to be disabled and bedridden, it's going to be for 12 years. If I'm going to do something, I do it all out. So I was an executive sales manager with a company car and a team under me, and earned a trip to Hawaii for both of us when he came back from Desert Storm. And yeah, within a year, because I just don't do anything a little bit. If I do anything, it's all out, put it all in. Unless it's gambling, then I bet quarters.
Why is that?
Because they're too hard to come by, especially right now, and they don't go very far.
What was the accident that kept you in bed for 12 years? And how did you come back from that?
That was difficult. And like I said, because I don't do anything, just a little bit, I had torn two ligaments in my ankle. I fell down the stairs in the middle of the night taking medicine to my daughter. And I was on crutches in a cast, still sweeping the floor and vacuuming. My husband came in and said, "What is God going to have to do? Break your other leg to make you be still?" Because I just, even to heal, to do anything, I just can't sit still. And so we had gone on a family vacation the two younger kids and I had driven down to Louisiana and Texas. We were living in Michigan. We were stationed in Michigan, and we had driven down and, visited our family and friends down here. And then we met my husband and my oldest daughter in Kentucky, along with my husband's sisters and their family and his parents, for a camping family reunion vacation. And we spent 3 or 4 days there swimming and fishing and having a great time. And we all left on Friday morning, and we were headed back into Michigan. And if you know anything about the Midwest, there are two seasons, winter and construction. And we were deep into construction season, orange Christmas trees everywhere. And we were in our Suburban towing our bumper pool camper. Our daughters were 16 and 18. They were driving my husband's truck, following us because we'd met there. So we had both vehicles. And as we were getting close to Michigan, the signs kept coming up, construction ahead, construction ahead. Semi trucks need to be in the left-hand lane. And we had this one semi truck that never got over. He stayed in the right-hand lane. He didn't obey any of the signs. And we had had a blowout on the camper earlier. So we were staying close to the exit so we could exit. The construction shifted to the shoulder of the road. And we got to a bridge 6 miles into Michigan that was a decorative bridge that kind of arched over. And because he wasn't in the right-hand lane, he was in the left-hand lane, he didn't think he could clear the bridge. And he slammed on his brakes. He was empty. We were pulling a 8,000-pound camper fully loaded with the Suburban. And I happened to be answering my son's question, and I had turned around to answer his question, and I caught out of the corner of my eye my husband stomp on the brakes with both feet. And my brain said, "You can't stop the camper like that. You have to stop slowly." I've been all over this country in that camper. That was our temporary home and our recreation and everything else. So I didn't even get completely turned back around before we made impact with the back of that semi truck. And then we hit the truck, the camper hit us, our daughters hit the camper, and the camper hit us again. So it was bam, 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 three impacts, just probably within 30 seconds to a minute. Just, it seemed like forever, but you know, just the crashing metal and everything. And then I hear my son screaming at the top of his lungs. It was like an out-of-body experience. I can't even describe it to you. I kept thinking, I've got to get to him. I've got to see if he's okay. But I didn't know where I was at, and I didn't know how to get out of the seat or how to the seatbelt. And then the next thing I know, my husband's laying in the back seat of the Suburban on his back. And I'm thinking, what is he doing? And he kicked out the window with both feet. His military training kicked in and we couldn't get the doors open. We were trapped in the car. We pulled our son out of the car, told him to unbuckle and come put him on the side of the highway with his sisters. And we were on I-75 going into Detroit, Michigan on a Friday night at rush hour. It was awful. And then he came back to the window and told me, unbuckle your seatbelt, climb between the seats, and let me pull you out. I was still just completely dazed. I didn't know how to, I couldn't unbuckle my seatbelt. The phone was ringing. I could figure out what the phone was. It was just complete chaos in my head. So he crawled back in the window, unbuckled me, got me out, took me over with the kids. And as soon as I got over where the kids were, mom kicked in and I'm checking the kids. And I'm fine. Thinking I'm fine because I got a lot of adrenaline going, you know, I'm like high on adrenaline. Check the kids. My oldest daughter had scrapes and burns from the airbag and the steering wheel, but she would seem to be okay. My second one didn't have a scratch on her. Our son was black from his neck to his waist, just covered and just bruised like that. And I thought, oh man, he's got internal injuries. Well, about this time this occurs to me, the police officer shows up and says, everybody's got to get away from the cars. The propane tanks that are on the front of the camper have crushed between the camper and the Suburban and are leaking propane. And one shot off under the guardrail and was leaking propane. He said, this is all going to go up in smoke. We've got to get away from this crash. Well, the next thing that kicked in was dog mom brain. I'm like, my dog is in the kennel in the car and I'm not going to watch him blow up. That ain't going to happen. So we went over to the car. My husband and the police officer picked up my daughter's dog's kennel and went to take her out. And I'm like, no, I want my dog out. I love her, but I want my puppy out. So I tried to pick up his kennel. He weighed 65 pounds and plus the kennel. And I tried to pick it up by myself. And that's when the first pain occurred to me. And I thought, I hurt, but I can't breathe. I just could not breathe. And so they put me in the ambulance, put me on IVs, put me on oxygen, wasn't getting better. It was continually getting worse. And by the time we got to the hospital, if anybody who knows me will tell you, unless I'm going to the hospital to see a newborn baby, my first question when I walk in the door is, when can I go home? I hate hospitals. I don't want to be there. So the whole time I'm asking, how's my family and can I go home? When can I go home? So everybody one by one gets cleared. Even my son's CAT scan comes back fine. No internal bruising, no internal bleeding, no internal anything. Everybody's going home. And then they tell me, you're going to the cardiac ward. You have a broken sternum. You have damage to both your knees. Both my knees were probably the size of basketballs. You have a herniated and ruptured disc in your back and herniated disc in your neck. So we have to watch your heart because you could have lacerated your heart or lacerated the pericardium, which is the sac around the heart. And you could just drop dead of a heart attack if we don't keep you. So they kept me for 5 days and watched me and did blood work and echocardiograms and all that. And after 5 days, they decided I was okay to go home. And so when I got home at the ripe old age of 38, I was 100% disabled and bedridden. And for 12 years, I went through a process of surgeries. I've had, I think, 14 or 15 surgeries now. I've lost count. It's a repair and replace process at this point. You know, it's had my knee done four times, my left knee done four times. Finally got a full artificial knee a couple of years ago. I had to have a fusion in my back and have nerve damage. The wreck also caused fibromyalgia, and it also triggered lupus, which I did not know I had. And so I just continued to have surgeries, continued to go to doctors, continued to ask somebody, you know, help me. I was a naturopath. I had been studying for my naturopathic degree before that. So I had tried everything natural that I could try. Nothing was helping. This pain was just excruciating. And I went into the hospital in 2016 for another surgery and they could not control my pain. And I was into shock. And they kept telling my husband, you have to take her home. The insurance will only let us keep her 24 hours. He's like, I'm not taking her home. when you can't control her pain here with IVs and pumps and everything else, then it's going to call an ambulance. They're going to bring her back. So I was teeth chattering, sweating, shaking. Just the pain was so horrific. And I just had this moment of clarity. And I just looked at my husband. Second time in my life I did this. And I said, I'm done. I'm not doing it their way anymore. I'm just done with this. And they could not control my pain because I was on so much pain management. I was on 120 Percocets a month, 30 Dilaudids for breakthrough pain, shots in my back, shots in my neck, shots in my occipital nerve for migraines that were caused by the disc in my neck. And I just was so saturated with pain medication that in order for them to give me enough to control that pain, they would have overdosed me. So I just said, I'm going to find a different way. So when I got home, I made a plan. And what I say in my video that's on my website is make a plan, write the plan down, and work the plan every day. So I sat down and I made a plan of I'm going to cut a pill in half. And I'm going to take a half a pill less for a month. And I'd mark it off on the calendar. Then I took another half a pill. I took, did the same thing with the Dilaudids, started weaning those down. And within about 6 months, I had weaned myself of all of the pain medication, except for one pain pill I allowed myself a day if it got really bad and I couldn't handle it. And then I just started step by step going slowly. I'd get up and sit in the chair for 15 minutes and lay back down. Or get up and stand for 5 minutes and lay back down. And I just started working my way back slowly, inch by inch. Then I got an exercise bike at the house and I'd ride it for a minute. And then a few weeks later, I'd go to 2 minutes. And I just slowly started working my way back until I was able to get up and do what I had been called to do, which was to echo people's stories, to help them share their story and to share my story, to hopefully encourage people that you can overcome whatever it is if you just have the right mindset. You just have to get your mind right. And that was what it was. When I was done, my mind was in the right place and I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not staying in this bed anymore. And I found a great doctor and we were transferred to Minnesota. So I found a good doctor that diagnosed me with lupus and he put me on medication for that. And so I still deal with chronic pain every day. As a matter of fact, I'm very tired today because I didn't sleep because I did that talk last night. So I was sitting in this uncomfortable chair. And so my back was bothering me, but so I didn't sleep well, but you just get up and you keep going because I believe it's my firm belief that God allows us to go through everything we go through in life so that we can give a helping hand to somebody else. And so my goal in life is to share my story in hopes that it encourages somebody else, that they can overcome whatever it is that they're battling right now. And so I started out with writing a blog, and then I went to doing a few books, chapters in anthology books, and then started doing some speaking, which is what I wanted to do, what I was called to do all along. And now I do speaking, I do corporate training, and I do anthology books where other people come in and we all go together and split the cost of to publish the book. We all contribute a chapter into the book and I organize those. I do two of those a year. And those are really fun because I love getting to know the other authors and to see them come out of their shell and tell their story and how it changes their life when they're able to put their story into words or on stage or whatever. And so that's what I did. That's how I came back, just one day at a time.
Elizabeth, that's so inspirational, really, for anyone that's going to be listening to the recording. I know it is for myself. And it's obvious that you're answering the call that God has laid on your heart to get out there and reach people no matter the age, really.
Right. No matter the age, no matter the venue. I mean, I speak to meetup groups. I speak to networking groups. I speak at corporate trainings. I speak at, you know, like the DOD. I did Weight Watchers for years. Of course, you know, that 12 years in bed took a little toll on me, and Weight Watchers wouldn't have me anymore. But that's okay. That's okay.
Your attitude is amazing.
It's just part of my scars. You know, it's just where life tried to take me out and it didn't succeed.
He lost. He didn't know who he was dealing with.
Exactly. He didn't know how stubborn I was. He's learning. It's that cage of stubbornness. And that's why it's Relentless Hearts, because in Louisiana, relentless, we say lâche la la patate, which in French means hold on to the potato. So that doesn't make any sense. But in Louisiana, the Cajun community, which I'm not Cajun, I wish I was, but I'm not, but I identify with them. And they say lâche la la patate means be relentless. Don't stop. Don't quit. Whatever obstacles or hardships you come up against, just keep going and push through. And so that's what I tell people, even if you only can get up for a minute, and then get up for a minute, you know, and give yourself credit for that minute. You know, so many people are like, well, I just was in bed for 4 hours and I only sat up for a minute. Oh, that's a minute more than you sat up yesterday. Just keep working at it.
So exactly what does COO, Relentless Hearts, mean?
It's, I went blank. CEO is chief executive officer, chief operating officer, because the chief executive officer is that guy back there. So actually, you know, that means he's the executive. He oversees it. Really, it's in his name. So he's responsible for it. And that means I do all the work or did all the work till he's retired. Now he's learning that he's getting to do some of the work too.
So that's the name of your company?
That's my ministry. Our company is the Klammann Group. And so that's my ministry, where I do women's retreats. I do virtual summits. I do live events, and I bring in the speakers and everything. And I have a group of speakers that I work with. And then some of my books are published under Relentless Hearts Press. So that's my own printing, my own publishing company. And I do that because I have to be relentless. A lot of people were like, oh, relentless, it's a negative word. I'm like, no, it's not. It means you just keep going. You're relentless.
Well, you should know what the meaning is, because you live it every day.
I do. And some days I still live it from the chair, but I'm still, you know, working on it.
So you mentioned, so let me ask you, what is storytelling coach? What exactly does that cover?
Well, I find that when I speak with a lot of people, or when I do these anthologies, I've gotten to where now I've learned to say, have you ever written before? Can we have a sample of your writing? Because a lot of people don't know how to tell a story. They only know how to tell facts. And so I've seen so many times, and facts are boring and people don't remember facts. But when you weave a story together, people might not remember your name. They might not remember you or where they were, but they remember your story when you tell a story. So when you weave a story together, you know, if you ever had a good book that you're just sucked into, and you have, I have literally bought the first book in a series and got so sucked into it that I have driven 45 minutes away in the traffic in Minneapolis, Minnesota, to get the other two books because I couldn't stand it. I had to know what happened next. So that's what a storyteller is. You know, a storyteller tells a story that sucks you in and you want to know what happens next. You know, and so that's what a storyteller is. So I work with people either writing their story in a book form or a chapter form or a blog form, are telling their story from live like this or on stage or whatever wherever they want their voice to be heard and however they're comfortable with their voice being heard. And so I help them craft that story so that it sucks people in and so that they get that emotional connection and they become memorable. And when you apply that to your business and you tell your business, your brand story or your personal story about why you developed the brand, what does the brand do for us? You know, and what is your brand motto? What are you trying to, like Coca-Cola? What would you say is Coca-Cola's brand?
To drink.
Anybody.
It's that, just a drink.
But what do you, when you think about Coca-Cola and you think about their commercials, what feeling does it give you? How does it move you? What emotions does it provoke? What makes you remember Coca-Cola?
Usually it's an athletic person that's acting with, typically a child or someone. And I mean, that's very prevalent during the sports season, no matter right. what sport.
Exactly. But if you think back to Coca-Cola and over the years, think about like their Christmas commercials and things. Coca-Cola is selling you joy. You remember all the song, they used to sing the songs and then hold the hands and all the different people and the polar bears and they're so happy when they're selling you joy. So they make you think in your head, I drink a Coke, I'm going to be joyful.
I'm going to be happy.
Yes. Interesting. Yes. So it is so important that you know what your brand is, you know what your brand's mission and your purpose is, and then you build your brand story from that mission and that purpose so that when you tell that story, either the personal story or the brand story, then people remember you. They remember your brand or they remember the feeling that you gave them because you become memorable. And I don't know how it works, but I tell my story from stage. The last time I spoke live was in March, the day before the pandemic locked us down. You know, 15 days to stop the spread. Yeah, or 2 years later, we're still stopping the spread. Not. But I spoke that day and I shared my story. And I had this lady come up to my table afterwards and tears are just streaming down her face. And she said, I have stage 4 lung cancer. And you just inspired me so much and gave me hope. And I'm going, how can my car accident disability relate to stage 4 lung cancer? But that's how the Holy Spirit works it out. He, whatever I said, he used to help her. And so I asked her, I said, would you like a book? And she said, no, I can't afford it. And I'm like, yes, you can. I signed a book and handed it to her. Because she needed that encouragement. She needed to know that. And I can't tell you how many times when my mother-in-law was in hospice here, I took a stack of books to the nurses because they were so wonderful and amazing. And I don't know how anybody does that job because it's a hard job just dealing with people at end of life. And I took them a stack of books and this one lady just started bawling. And she said, you have no idea how much I need this right now. And she was in the nurse's station and I'm in the hall and I'm like, I need to hug you. I can't come in there. And the supervisor was standing there. She goes, you can go in there. Go ahead. So I just went in and just gave her a hug because, you know, and I just handed her a book. It was a simple little thing to me, but it meant the world to her.
What's the title of the book you're referring to?
My first book that I put out is called Beauty Rising from Brokenness, and it's my journey through childhood trauma that triggered chronic illness, which was asthma and severe bronchitis and chronic fatigue syndrome, and then my journey to healing naturally. So it is a combination of memoir and self-help book because I walk you through how I healed physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually and naturally. So I walk you through the story and how I healed all those areas. Because if you think about our bodies, Western medicine splits us up into pieces. They send you to the foot doctor, they send you to the head doctor, whatever. But natural medicine, we are all one being, one person, and it all works together. So your if you're having pain, it could be triggered by a trauma earlier in life. And that's something else I do. I work with women who have been through traumatic experiences and are now having illness. A lot of people don't realize there's something called ACEs, and it's adverse childhood experiences. And there's a score on there. And you can go through and mark, you know, if you grew up in a home without a parent, if you grew up with an alcoholic parent, if you just different things, and you score it, and it gives you your score. And then it tells you how likely that is to trigger illnesses later in life, especially autoimmune illnesses like my lupus. And so that's a lot of high blood pressure that's triggered by those traumas that were never healed. So when I work with clients that way, we go through and we write their story, and then we figure out what the traumas are and what they might be triggering now. And then if we heal that trauma, it makes a huge improvement in their life now. And so that's what Beauty Rising from Brokenness, that's what that's about. And I will tell you, I leave you hanging at the end, because that's what all good storytellers do. And book two, which is Warrior Rising from Ashes, will be out later this year.
Kathy, did you get that title of the book so that you could put it in the chat box?
No, I did not write it down, but we'll get maybe Elizabeth to put those in the chat so that I can actually store those with the replay, so that when folks listen to the replay, they'll have those titles.
Right, exactly.
I'd be happy to.
Perfect.
And what was ACE? Where do you find that?
Actually, if you get Beauty Rising from Brokenness, and it's on Amazon in paperback, I think I have it all three, paperback, hardback, and an ebook. But there's a link in there to my website, and I have an additional information on the website. And I have all of that about ACEs and scores and where you can go online to get that and everything. And then that's the first book. And then I have several anthologies, several that I've participated in. One is called Full Throttle, From Empty Nest to Full Throttle. And we talk about being an empty nester and building a life after your children leave the nest. And then, and that's a collaboration book. I have Voices of the 21st Century, which is a collaboration book of women from Women Speakers Association. And we all have short stories in there. And then I have my collaboration books, which are Fiercely Faithful, and that's a book about God's faithfulness of a time that you went through a trial in your life and how God was faithful to bring you through that trial. And we have Fiercely Unstoppable Entrepreneurs, which was my last collaboration book that I oversaw. And we have people in there from all walks of life, all types of businesses, that wrote about their entrepreneurial journey or ministry journey, and gave tips and tricks and to help younger entrepreneurs who are coming along. And then my next two this year are going to be Fiercely Faithful, the second book in that series, which is about joy and how we come through situations and we get to count it as joy, because God turns mourning into joy. And then the second one that will be coming out is The Fiercely Unstoppable Leader. And that will be stories of women and, well, people. I always have my one token man that joins the book. So I don't know why, but it's all ladies and my one token guy. But that one will be from a leadership perspective and helping other people find their leadership style and what you've been through. Because I'm of course a storyteller, I like to share experiences, and I like to watch. I love the community that we build around the book, and then how it helps people go and do what they were supposed to do.
That's amazing. I think what I'm going to do is, if you would send me a because that's a lot of stuff to put in the chat box at the moment.
It's a lot. If you go to Amazon and you put in my name, Elizabeth Clamon, all of my books will come up.
Oh.
All the books I've been part of will come up. So all you got to do is put my name in Amazon and they'll pop up. Or you can go to my website, elizabethclamon.com, and all my books are on there as well. And if you buy them from the website, you get a signed copy.
Cool.
Elizabeth, I'll put all of those links in the replay paragraph as well. I'll put your links there for everyone.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, they can get any of my books on my website or on Amazon.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and I did put your ElizabethClayman.com. Is that your website?
That's my website, yes.
Okay, great. Well, you've mentioned a lot about this. In what ways do you help companies, individuals get seen and heard? You've mentioned, you know, some things about that, but what did you do for like Weight Watchers and even the Department of Defense, which is quite amazing?
Well, that, is a speaking engagement, and I talked about PTSD and how, because I have PTSD from my childhood, from being trapped in a car accident, trapped in cars twice now, and suffering injuries from, we had another one, another car accident that a guy hit us from behind. He ended up totaling 6 cars. There were 7 passengers in the 6 cars, and 1 person was injured. Anybody venture to take a guess who the injured person was?
Probably you.
lucky me. And so I went to the hospital by ambulance, and I had a ruptured and torn rotator cuff and a severe concussion. The concussion just was awful. She's after this bee that's over here that's going to sting me. Yes, right there. I'm keeping my eye on it, but the cat just jumped up here and he got her, and I'm like, she's trying to save me from the bee.
You don't need a bee bite now.
No, I just put the screen down. He's behind the screen. Hopefully he'll stay there. I was going to say, you guys hold on a minute, and I'm going to call him to get the bee, but it's fine. It's fine. I'm good. I'll let you know if it gets out.
Elizabeth, this has been an absolute amazing interview. I have enjoyed this immensely. And Sally, Kathy, do you have any questions?
I just want to say how amazing this whole conversation has been. I have just been sitting here saying, oh my gosh, I wish Elizabeth were closer to me. I would love to meet you in person. Yeah. I can't wait.
I live in an RV. I can be anywhere.
I love that. And I can't wait to kind of get into your website and look around a little bit. So thank you so much for this today.
Oh, you're so welcome. And my website is undergoing construction. So if there's any broken links or anything, let me know. I did the talk last night, and I got a bunch of emails, and they're like, this is telling me this link is broken. It's not giving me my free gift. And I'm like, it's okay. So I've been working all morning on getting all the links straight on that. My VA is not feeling well, and so I've been left to do the technology stuff myself. That's never a good thing. I'm all about people and not about technology.
We're right there with you.
My assistant is a whiz, of course, a millennial, so she's a whiz at all that. So, you know, she just gets in there. I call her and say, I need a graphic or I need a giveaway. And she literally gets on Canva on her phone and makes it. And I'm like, how do you do this? Never mind. I don't want to know. I don't want to do it. I'd rather pay her to do it.
Yep, just let her do it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's what I pay her for. So I don't have to. I would absolutely love to meet you guys. If you guys have anything in your area, you know, if there are any events or anything coming up, or if you want to pass my name on to somebody, that would be amazing, because we are trying to rebuild after all this COVID, which I'm hoping now that Omicron is going through everybody, we're going to be done. I'm hoping, because I am a people person, if you couldn't tell, and I love people, and I love especially speaking to women's groups and being live and getting to interact with everybody. That's my favorite. That's what God called me to do. That's my gift.
Well, I know that I'm the same feeling as Kathy and Sally. We would love to actually meet you in person.
That'd be great.
So, and you know,
where are y'all located?
Just south of Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. My girls live in just north of Detroit, Michigan. So we're not that far from there.
The signs started coming up
in Toledo when we had the wreck. The construction signs started showing up in Toledo just before we went across the Michigan border. So you guys know about that winter and construction season. Y'all know all about that.
I know. We would love to have you come back again, maybe to talk about one of your books.
I would be happy to.
Series of books. And just to kind of fill in some of that with our listeners. And we record this so that my group of 279 people can listen to the recordings, and then they'll be available on YouTube for them to watch. So I'm so grateful that we managed to work this out. And
We talked 6 months ago and we were going to do this, and then the tectonic plate started happening in my life.
Actually, I think it was actually the first year of COVID, 2020.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't realize it. Yeah, like I said, it's been, we lost my father-in-law in July to a sudden massive heart attack, and then my mother-in-law 3 months later to a stroke. And it has just been, and my husband was retiring and we were moving into the RV, and it's been a difficult.
Yeah, a massive downsize.
Yes. Massive downsize, massive tectonic shifts. I think I'm going to have a talk that says stand firm even when you're having tectonic plate shifts.
That sounds like a good one.
I think I'm going to write that one. I would absolutely love it. You guys get my gift on there. It's the Wow Storyteller Blueprint. And it just goes through and helps you begin to know how to write your story and how to engage your audience, whatever kind of audience that you're talking to. And if any of you are interested in a chapter in one of my upcoming anthologies, I've got a big New Year's sale. I'm going to give it $300 off. So that's my big New Year's 2022. We're going to knock this year out, and it's going to be awesome.
I hear you. Hear, hear. I agree.
So just if you want any more information or anything like that, just send me an email. And again, if you know my name, Elizabeth@ElizabethClammon.com, you can find me.
Cool.
Everything is branded Elizabeth Clammon. So Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all of them, Elizabeth Clammon.
I'm kind of excited to go check out your Pinterest. So
I've not touched it in a while. So I don't know. We'll see.
That's okay.
There's so many of them, and you're adding them all the time.
Yes, I'm going to look up your books on Amazon. So, thanks, Elizabeth. I really appreciate it, and I know we've all enjoyed it. And no more car accidents.
No more.
You've already had your fill.
I have literally asked the doctors if I have a bullseye on me, or if perhaps there's a magnet on the bumper or something. The chiropractor told me the other day, somebody's trying to take you out because they don't want you to do what God wants you to do. And he don't waste bullets. The enemy does not waste bullets. I'm like, well, he's been shooting plenty at me.
Well, you and I will keep in touch on LinkedIn.
Yes, you guys look me up on LinkedIn. Send me a connection request.
Yes. Well,
I'm always building my network. I love to have lots of amazing women to work with and a few good men.
Always got to include those. Always. A few good men.
Yes. Only if they're good.
Tell your husband we said thank you for lending us you for an hour, and we've really appreciated it. And for all those that are going to be listening to the recording, I'm going to send out the recording, but I'm also going to, I'm starting to upload things to my YouTube channel. And please join us again next month for, I'm not sure where we're going to go next month.
Who knows? I might be back again. I never run out of stuff to talk about.
Well, you have a good weekend and stay warm down there.
It's nice and warm at 70 today. We're going for a motorcycle ride. That's what our
afternoon is. Have a great time.
Enjoy we will that. And we will stay away from trucks.
Yes.
People ask me all the time, they're like, aren't you scared to ride that motorcycle? I said, I've never been hurt on that motorcycle. Cars are a different story.
Well, everybody have a great weekend.
Yes, you guys. Thank you. It's so nice to meet all of you.
See you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. You're welcome. Bye.